And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can open your word this morning. And we thank you, God, for the authority of your word. And we open it with confidence again this morning, recognizing that when we open it, you speak. And so we do ask, God, that by your Spirit you would speak to us today with clarity and with conviction, and that we might be obedient followers of Jesus as a result in our response to you. And so, God, we ask for your help and your assistance again as we open your word again today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 4 contains the very last words recorded by Paul in Scripture right before his death. Often when people are knowingly close to their death, the last things that they say are often the most important things. I think from my own personal experience, I found that to be true, even in conversations with my own father, who passed away, it'll be 11 years ago now this February, but we were talking about things that mattered in the last number of months. They were primarily eternal in nature. And I think it's really an opportunity to see into the window of an individual's heart. And I think that's really what we see here in 2 Timothy. And I think in particular, chapter 4, as Paul knows that his death is imminent, and in light of that, challenges Timothy to carry the torch of the gospel to the next generation and to be a faithful soldier of Jesus Christ. And so as this letter is coming to a close, Paul really shares his heart with Timothy. And in doing so, I think really gives us a window into what was most important to him. Now, I don't think you can fully appreciate or understand the beginning of chapter 4 here unless you really see it in the context of what we've been going through in chapter 3. Because chapter 3 is really a building crescendo leading up to chapter 4. In other words, it's building towards something. It's kind of like a movie that's building towards the climax of the movie where the mystery will be solved or the good guys are going to win or somebody's rescued or whatever the plot may be. Now, as we go back to chapter 3, Paul has laid out a warning regarding false teachers and their deceptive motives, how they pretend to be godly when in reality they're far from being godly, and how they oppose the truth. And Paul says, listen, watch out for those people. Stay away from those people. Instead, follow godly examples, people whose lives reflect doctrinal purity and who are living a life of integrity. And then as we looked at last week, Paul emphasizes how powerful and profitable and purposeful the Word of God is because it's inspired, it's breathed out by God, okay, meaning that the Word of God are the very words of God. And so for the Word of God that changes the hearts of people, it leads people then to salvation, it convicts people of sin, it helps people discern good from evil, truth from what is false, and it equips people to live godly lives and to be effective in serving God in whatever capacity he may call us to. Now, with all of that in mind, it leads us now to chapter 4, and it leads us to the command, okay? And that's the first point of this message. And he begins by saying in verse 1, I charge you, okay? Meaning that this is not an option for you to consider out of a number of other options, okay? This is a solemn imperative. It's a command. And that command specifically is found at the beginning of verse 2 that says, preach the word. I mean, of all things that Paul could have told Timothy at the end of his life, he comes up with this. He says, preach the word. When I transitioned from youth pastor to senior pastor 20 years ago, I can still remember how overwhelming that thought was. And I remember how inadequate I felt, and I was trying to convince God that I was not equipped, much like Moses was trying to convince God that he wasn't equipped to go to Pharaoh. In fact, you could probably still see the heel marks in the parking lot in my resistance of wanting to go that direction. But I remember having a million things go through my mind in terms of what I needed to do and what this was supposed to look like. And during that time, I felt I just needed to talk to a number of individuals. And so I called a good pastor friend of mine who I have great respect for on the West Coast. And I was just seeking some wise words of counsel. I thought maybe we'd be talking about leadership, or we'd be talking about specific ministries, or be talking about philosophy of ministry and those kinds of things. We really didn't get much into that stuff, to be honest. Because he boiled it down for me in these four words. He said, just preach the word. I never forgot that. And actually, it was a short time after that I had the same conversation with my own father, and he said the very same thing, just preach the word. See, Paul didn't tell Timothy preach philosophy. He didn't tell Timothy preach psychology or preach inspiring ideas or preach what's on your heart or preach your experiences. No, he said preach the word. The word preach literally means to proclaim publicly or to herald. In Paul's day, a ruler or a king had a special herald. Okay, that's not the name of the guy, okay, but it's another name for being a representative of that king, and he would speak on behalf of the king to the people. He was commissioned to clearly and loudly proclaim the message that he was given. And so this herald did not have the ability or the authority to tweak the content of the message. He did not have the ability to negotiate what that message said. He said what he was supposed to say. And if you didn't say what you're supposed to say, you would be in serious trouble because you represented the ruler or the king. It was his reputation at stake. Well, in the same way, Timothy was God's representative to preach God's word, to preach what God said. Not just the parts he wanted to say, not just the parts that people wanted to hear, but to be faithful to say what God actually said. I think it's really important to understand that as you open your Bible and read it, what you're reading has God's original intent. And so our job in preaching and teaching the scripture is to study those texts. It's to study the historical background and the grammatical structure. It's to study the context in which the passages that we're dealing with. It's to understand parallel passages that have an impact on our understanding of what that passage says so that we can properly explain what God actually meant. Because we are not free to interpret the scriptures however we want. The intent is always the same because God's word does not change. Now, I want to stop there for a second, and I want to explain to you, because I was thinking over the years, probably over the 20 years of my ministry, I've never done this before. And I want to take a second, and I want to explain to you the importance of expositional preaching. Expositional, because you've heard these terms that we've used before. When people talk about Rothbury Community Church, somebody will say, well, they do expositional preaching. You may not even know what that means. But the word expositional simply means explaining or describing something. Okay? So in this case, it's explaining or describing the Word of God. Expositional preaching, I would argue, is the most faithful and effective way to proclaim or preach the Word of God. It is biblical preaching that is rooted in the Word of God because it is text-driven. Okay, so it's not about me coming up with ideas and then finding verses to somehow support what James thinks. Okay, that's not what expositional preaching is. Some people ask, how do you come up with what you're going to preach every week? And I say, I don't. I don't, because I have this. And so whatever text we're on, that is the text we preach. And next week will be another text, and we will continue to preach that way. Faithful expositional preaching is done by reading the text, then explaining the text, of course, teaching what it actually says and what God intended it to say, and then it is applying the text of Scripture in a relevant way to our lives. And when that is done, you move to the next text, and you do it all over again. And that is the pattern we normally follow, and that is the pattern that we've been using even as we go through the book of 2 Timothy. And so we started at the beginning of this letter, and we've been working our way through the entire book of 2 Timothy verse by verse. Okay, that's expositional preaching. And I believe expositional preaching believes that all Scripture is breathed out by God. It's all useful. It's all profitable. It's all inspired, and therefore it is the best way to preach the whole counsel of God's word, and it is the best way for hearers to understand the whole counsel of God's word. It actually protects a pastor from getting on a soapbox, but it also does not allow the pastor to not preach the passages that he may not want to preach, or the passages that are tough or difficult or confrontational. With expositional preaching, you don't have the ability to sidestep passages that are dealing with maybe some controversial sin issues or moral issues. And yet it also forces us to wrestle with a variety of doctrines that all of us need to wrestle with and come to grips with. Why? Because all Scripture is inspired by God. And so you really shouldn't care what you think the Bible means. You shouldn't care what I think the Bible means. You should care about what it actually means. And so even as you hear the word preached from this pulpit on a regular basis, you shouldn't just go home and say, okay, well, since James said that this is what it says, I guess that's what it means. I mean, I would hope that what I'm saying is what it means. But at the same time, you need to be going home and be like the Bereans who are searching the Scriptures for yourself and going, well, let's just make sure that what he's saying is actually what the Bible said. We should all be doing that. Now, with all of that said about expositional preaching, I'm not suggesting that topical preaching is wrong. Just want to make that clear, because we do that on occasion here as well with topics that I feel are relevant for us to consider from the whole of Scripture. But as a consistent diet, expositional preaching, I think, is the best way to make known what God says in his book. And that's why we're committed to expositional preaching here at this church. And so my greatest desire in preaching is that when you leave church, that you're thinking to yourself, I think I get it now. I think I understand what God is saying in this passage. I understand better who God is and what he's saying to me, and now how I'm supposed to live this out. Because that's really the goal of preaching, is it not? Well, what should be the motivation then to proclaim God's word? That's a subpoint under number one, our motivation. And there's two things I want you to notice in terms of what should motivate us. What should motivate us to preach God's word? First is our dependability on God's word. If we believe the end of chapter 3, then we must draw the conclusion that preaching the word of God is the best thing that we could ever do. If our goal is to see people become wise unto salvation and to see believers grow in godliness and holiness, then preaching the word of God should be a no-brainer for every church. If God's word is inspired by God and is profitable to teach you the gospel and to teach what is right, if God's word reveals what isn't right in your life by reproving you, okay, I'm going back to the end of chapter 3 here. If God's word tells you how to make things right by correcting you, and if God's word helps you keep things right by training you in righteousness, and if God's word equips you to do every good work, then why wouldn't we preach the word? My question would be, is there anything else that we should preach besides God's word? Hebrews 4:12 reminds us that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so preaching should be what we do, and the word should be what we preach. And so our motivation should be our dependability on God's word, because we know what God's word is capable of doing. But the other motivation is our accountability to God. Let's go back to verse 1 here for a moment. Because Paul goes on to say, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. This is a very heavy, forceful verse, and it was meant to be that way. Because one day, all of us will stand before God as our judge, and we will give an account to him. Now, as it relates specifically to this passage, my responsibility to preach the word of God faithfully will be held accountable before God. And so here's the thing that pastors need to remember. Okay, so I'm preaching to myself here for a second, so you can listen. I'll preach it to Brian too, since he's a pastor too, right? Luke's not here today, so I'll have to preach it to him on another day. But here's the thing we have to remember, and that is that the audience in preaching is ultimately God. It is him that we answer to. And so God is not only the author of the word, he is also the audience of the word. And so the question is not whether the people liked the sermon. The question is whether God was pleased with how his word was handled and preached. And so as Paul is talking to Timothy here, he's in essence saying, listen, Timothy, don't worry about me and what I think. Don't worry about your congregation and what they think. But concern yourself with God and what he thinks, because he is the judge and you will be held accountable to him. And so as preachers, we need to preach for the pleasure of God and not for the applause of men. And that is where James chapter 3 also lays out this warning by saying, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And I really think that should give all of us who are teaching or preaching the word of God, at whatever level that may look like, it's not just from the pulpit, it can be at any level, but those of us that are preaching or teaching the word of God should have a healthy, weighty fear of God. And so that is our motivation in preaching God's word. But also I want you to notice Paul's explanation, letter B, about how we are to preach the word. And there's four things that he says here. First of all, we're to do it consistently. He says, be ready in season and out of season. The idea here is like a soldier that is always on duty. There's a sense of urgency that you're always ready to go into battle. That's kind of the idea of what Paul is saying here. And so the point is, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are or what season of life we are in, the truth always matters and the truth always needs to be heard. In other words, it's always appropriate to be preaching the word of God, whether life is good or whether life is daunting, whether there is new life or whether there is a life that has been taken, whether people are receiving the word or whether they are rejecting the word. Whether even as a pastor you're delighted to preach that Sunday or you are dreading the idea of preaching that Sunday. And I think I can speak for all of us in saying that happens to the best of them. And why? Why should we do it consistently? Because God's word does not return void, Isaiah 55:11. And so it doesn't matter what the situation is, there is never a time where it is inappropriate to preach God's word. And so it is fair to conclude that preaching should always, always, always be a priority in the local church. Today is the opening day for rifle hunting season, and that season is only going to last 2 weeks. Sorry. But the season for preaching will never end. It's never over. So we're to be preaching consistently. Second, we're to be preaching lovingly. He goes on to say, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Now you may hear those words and go, wait a second, how do you connect that to lovingly? I could think of some other words maybe, but reprove? Well, reprove means to convince of sin. Rebuke is to bring about correction from sinful thinking or sinful living. It's to bring someone to the repentance of that sin. So in other words, we're to preach about what the Bible says about sin and not shy away from that. And some people will say, well, who are you to tell me about sin? Well, actually, I'm not anybody. I'm just the representative. I'm just the delivery guy, all right? Telling you what God actually says. So if people get upset with me, I guess I would just have to say, it's not about me, it's about what God says. So if you have an issue, just deal with God and deal with what his word says. Because listen, the Bible has a lot to say about a lot of things, but a lot of moral issues that can cause people to be upset or offended. But listen, people may not like to hear certain things from the Bible, but is it not the loving thing to tell them the truth, whether they like it or not? Of course, to do it graciously, to do it humbly. But should we not do that for the sake of their relationship with God and for eternity? We live in a world where not many seem to know the distinction between what is right and what is wrong. And so we need to make known the authority of what God's word says. It's one of the reasons I think expositional preaching is so important, because you have to deal with the reproving, rebuking texts that can be confrontational, which we all need. And so it is the preacher's job to lovingly present what God says in those areas. There's another word that's also used, but it's used in a very positive way, and that is the word exhort. Okay, and that describes the idea of encouragement, and it really shows us again the beauty of biblical balance here, of not only preaching about sin, but also preaching about the encouragement of God's love and grace and forgiveness of that sin. Someone said it is our job to afflict the comfortable and to comfort the afflicted. You know, it's that perfect balance of what we need to do. So we need to preach consistently, we need to preach lovingly, we also need to preach patiently. It says with complete patience. That word patience means long-suffering, it means endurance. You say, well, how does patience apply to preaching? Well, I guess from a pastor's perspective, it can be really tempting sometimes to think that people should be responding quicker. Come on, I just preached a really good message, you know? You should be responding to that message. There you go. I can go home encouraged today, Jim. Thank you. But I mean, of course, that's our prayer, right? We want people to change. We want people to respond in obedience to the word of God. But honestly, that's not our job. Our job is to preach the word. The Holy Spirit's job is to penetrate and to take the truths of his word and to change people's hearts and to bring conviction leading to obedience. And so in a general sense, we all need to be patient with one another. I need to be patient, but we all need to be patient when we don't see as much fruit as we think we should see. But listen, we're not the ones that do the work. Let's just be faithful. Let's be faithful in what God's called us to do. I need to be faithful in what God's called me to do in preaching the word from this pulpit. But we have to trust the power of God's word, and we have to trust the work of God's Spirit to accomplish those things. And then the last thing that he mentions here is we need to preach it theologically. He uses the word teaching. That word teaching means doctrine or instruction. Now, some people hear that word doctrine and they'll go, doctrine, that just sounds boring to me, you know? I don't want to hear about doctrine. I want to hear, just give me something practical to live my life this week. Well, listen, how do you live the Christian life, or how do you worship God in your life if you really don't know God as you ought to know him? If you don't understand the ramifications of your sin, if you don't grasp what the gospel is and what Christ did for you on the cross to save you and to sanctify you, then you are not going to grasp how God wants you to live. And so doctrine or theological understanding of God and what God says is foundational to every believer that wants to live his or her life for the glory of God. You can't live for God in the right way if you don't know God in the right way. And so if the preacher is just telling you practical things that you need to do, then frankly, he's really nothing more than a life coach. That's the kind of the term we use today. That's not a preacher. Certainly, there are many practical things in the scriptures for us, and they are important for us to understand and know, but we must always connect them back to the foundation of who God is and what Christ has done to accomplish our salvation and our sanctification on the cross. If you don't make those connections, then if you're just preaching about practical things that the Bible says, all you're doing is preaching moralism. And I won't say any more about that, because I was tempted to do so. So, with the command to preach, Paul now raises the concern that Timothy will likely experience. And that is leading us to the main point number two, which is the concern. Look at verses 3 and 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As I was reading that, I was thinking, you'd almost think that Paul was saying that in the 21st century. Because so much of our culture, and to some degree that culture has snuck its way into the church culture, but so much of that culture doesn't want to hear what God actually has to say. They want to hear things that make them feel good. They want to hear things that make them happy. They want to hear that God just wants me to be healthy. They just want to hear God wants me to be wealthy. They want their itching ears to be scratched. I was talking to somebody in a leadership position in another church, not around here, and they were having pretty significant problems in the church. They were having some pretty significant problems with a pastor that was in that church, and they were in the process of looking for another pastor, and I guess the statement that really stood out to me, that just struck a chord with me, and again, I didn't know all of the ins and outs of what had happened. I'm sure there were concerns all over the place, and I'm sure there were some concerns, legitimate concerns, with this pastor as well. But nonetheless, he made this statement to me, and he said, the people just got tired of him preaching because he would always preach the gospel every week. Well, my little radar went up, almost scared me to hear him say that. And it just reminded me of this passage, because too often people just want to hear the things that make them feel good. Just give me something practical. Give me something that makes me happy. I don't want conviction. I just want to hear something that makes me, you know, better equipped to live life tomorrow. You know, that kind of thing. Don't tell me about sin. Tell me that I'm okay. Tell me that that God wants me to do what makes me happy. Don't tell me about God's wrath. Tell me about God's love, no matter what. See, some people, I think, are more interested in how they feel than what the Word of God actually says. And yet, on the other hand, let's look at both sides of the coin here. There are pastors that are more concerned about numbers and popularity and making people happy and not offending anyone than they are in seeing people be transformed by the Word of God. And we live in a time where the Word of God is becoming more and more offensive. And I think with that, more and more pastors are becoming, I don't know if this is the right word, but wussy in their courage to actually preach what the Bible says. And actually, some of the things that we preach from God's Word are now considered hate speech in certain countries. I mean, those are the things that are happening. But listen, if you're not preaching the Word of God, then you're not preaching, and you are not a preacher. You can be a polished communicator. That does not mean that you're a good preacher. And then I think that is really where we need to be discerning, because there are pastors and churches in pulpits like this one all over the country today that can make you laugh and that can be motivating and stir your emotions. People that can tell stories and keep you on the edge of your seats. But that's not preaching. And I'm not suggesting that you should never do any of those things. I'm just saying that should not be what preaching looks like. We can tell stories and we can give illustrations that help bring the text alive. But too often there is no text for so much preaching that goes on today. And unfortunately, too many churches are more concerned about entertainment with light shows and fog machines than they are about preaching the Word of God. They would rather do a 10-minute TED talk than dig into the depths of Scripture. They would rather do a quick fast food takeout than prepare a full course meal for the flock. And we're reminded again in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, where it says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you." That word shepherd, that very first word in that verse, means to feed. To shepherd means to feed. And the idea here being that the food we're supposed to be feeding the flock is the Word of God. Should be one of the primary things that goes on within every church. And so that is to be the elders and the pastor's priority, is to feed the flock. And so our preaching should not be based on what people want. It should be based on what God says. Well, okay, we've got one more point. It's the conclusion. All right, so and there's four things here that Paul tells Timothy to do in light of the command to preach, but at the same time, there's going to be people that aren't going to want to hear what you have to say or what you're going to preach. And so here's the conclusion. As for you, verse 5, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry, Mark. All right, so the four things. Sober-minded, it means be watchful. Don't relax. Be aware of the struggle or the battle to be faithful in preaching, because there will be the temptation to water it down. Don't get sucked into the trends of the day. Don't buy into the thinking of the world. And don't freak out if more people are going to the feel-good church down the street than the church you're preaching at. Okay. The second thing, endure suffering. Because if you preach the word faithfully, you will naturally have opposition to it. People will say things about you. They'll label you. They'll put you in a certain category. But again, when that happens, don't water the word down. Don't change what you're doing. Endure. That's what Paul's saying here. Doing what God says is not always the easy thing to do. Sometimes it's the hard thing to do. But keep going. Keep preaching the word and endure the suffering that comes with it. Thirdly, do the work of an evangelist. The statement is really applicable to all of us, all believers, because like Timothy, who was a pastor, not everyone has the gift of an evangelist. But even if we do not have the gift of an evangelist, we need to be doing the work of an evangelist. We need to be looking for opportunities to talk to people about Jesus and giving them the truth of the gospel. And so Paul's telling Timothy, don't forget, that's really important. You might not be super gifted at it, but you got to keep doing it. And then lastly, fulfill your ministry. In other words, complete the job, Timothy. Finish what you started. Finish what God has called you to do. Keep preaching the word. Keep preaching the word. And so with that, that is what we will continue to do. We're going to keep preaching the word. And you come back next week, we're going to preach the word. You come back the week after that, we're going to keep preaching the word. And it would be my prayer that in generations from now, when nobody knows any of our names and had a clue that we attended this church or who the pastors were in this church, that this place will keep preaching the word. And I think in a broader sense, let all of us herald and faithfully proclaim the truth of God's word in the world in which God's placed us. Because it's specifically the passage that we're looking at, yeah, was talking to Timothy directly as a pastor and his preaching ministry. But we all have a role. We're all to herald and to proclaim the word of God. We're all to plant the seeds of truth, because people need to know who Jesus is, right? And as we do that, and as we trust the power of God's word, one day those seeds that were planted in the hearts of people, and we may never know it, God will use that to graciously bring them to himself. And so may God help us all to be faithful to that end. Let's pray.